It's Nolan and Nolan bringing you the BP3 podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 13 of the PP3 podcast, hosted by Nolan Keough and Nolan Wyatt. Thanks for joining us today as the PP3 boys go over all the NHL playoff and VIJHL news you need to know about. But first off, Nolan Wyatt, welcome back to the pod. How we doing, baby? How we doing?
Unreal, man. Been missing it. Glad I got the chance to, you know, have a day off, sit down and catch up, man. It's been a little while. We've been doing this for, 12 weeks now, 13 weeks, so it's been weird not doing it last week, so I'm glad I get to hop right back into it this week, and we got a lot to talk about, so what a week for it.
Yeah, how was your first week back on the boat? How was adjusting to that life?
Yeah, you know, it was a bit of a fucking grind, if I'm being honest. Last year, it felt like pretty easy stuff. It was middle of the summer when I started doing it, and nice sunny days, and long short days, and this year I'm on a different boat, so I'm actually not working with Arnett this year, which is a little bit surprising. But it was tough, long days. It's not nice out there, so you're in the rain and the cold and killing 20,000 fish a day or whatever it is, but the money's good and I'm back home in beautiful Camel River, so no complaints now, man. How about yourself?
Not too bad. So you don't know if you're working at all with Arnie throughout the summer?
I won't be.
Really?
Originally, it was supposed to be 2 weeks. We were on different boats, and now it's all summer, so the next 4 months we'll be on different boats, which is a little bit different than what I was expecting, but the crew I have right now is pretty laid back and pretty chill. The boat I'm on right now is called the Silver Dolphin, and it should be called the Bronze Dolphin because it's so fucking rusty. It's from the 70s, man. They brought it over from Newfoundland. It's a big old rusty thing, but sure gets the job done. Funny story about it, actually, before we get into this. So I get in my bunk the first night. I get a little bunk, 4 beds, and it's just me in there. And there's all these prescription stickers on the wall. I'm like reading them and stuff and trying to fall asleep. This dude named Frank Hickey from Newfoundland in the 70s stuck like 8 prescriptions of this medicine in there. I'm like, I wonder what Frank was sick with. I Googled it. They were all prescription for chlamydia. 8 stickers for prescription, or 8 stickers off chlamydia bottles in there. So Frank, whatever you were doing back in the 70s, you're a fucking dirty dog if you're still kicking. I wonder what you're up to nowadays, but I'm like, Bunk's got some history to it, so
that's fucking funny.
Yeah.
How's the crew? How are you getting along with all the guys? Is it like a completely new group? Have you not seen any of the guys?
Well, last year there was it's actually half and half. So it's me from the Ocean Marauder last year, and one other deckhand, and then the engineer. And then, so I'm familiar with 2 of the people, and then one of the other deckhands, and then the captain are people I've never worked with before, but captain's a fucking beauty. His name's Derek. He's a big hockey fan like myself, so he bought Sportsnet, whatever, premium, so we've been having the games out on the boat while we're out there and boating around, so that's nice. He likes to keep up with the scores in the games as much as I do. The other day I was out on the table, like middle of the shift, killing fish, and he pokes his head out and he's screaming at me. And I'm like, what the fuck? What's going on? Like, I'm kind of like worried. I'm like, what happened? And he's like, Canucks won! Canucks won! And so, yeah, he blue-balled me a little bit on what the fuck happened in that game. But yeah, life's good, man.
How's the food on there? Do you guys eat a lot of the fish that you catch?
No. I do not want to even look at fish. Some of the fish we kill are so grungy looking, dude. It looks like something I shit out sometimes. But that's an overstatement. But I, when you're working with fish all day and you're killing fish and you're covered in guts and blood and scales, you're like, I don't really want to eat fish for a little while. So luckily, they don't whip up any fish. Like this week, the captain also is our cook, and he's fucking dialed, man. Like shepherd's pie, chicken tacos, like we're eating good out there.
Nice.
While we're working, he's usually making us food because he doesn't have anything to do but kind of like stand there and take, or sit around and take numbers. I'm sure he does more that I'm not aware of, but he's also a phenomenal cook. So if I come back in August and I got another 20 pounds on me, don't be too surprised because I'm eating good.
What did I get up to? Not much. Just work.
Back at junk in the trunk.
Back at junk in your trunk.
Yeah, baby.
Pretty funny name. I get like a little bit embarrassed when I tell people what I work for. Like, the company's awesome. It's nothing against the it's just the name. And like Sean, the owner, he knows that. Like, it's a funny name. People ask you, like, who do you work for? Yeah, I work for junk in your trunk. And they're like, what the fuck? Are you in the porn industry or something?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then I actually had, so a couple pods ago, we were talking about my worst round in like 2 years, like 95 or something like that.
Don't
at Pheasant
tell me
Glen.
You did it again.
Yeah. No, dude. I shot my best ever.
Fuck yeah. What'd you shoot?
Shot 80, I think it was 83. 83 at Pheasant Glen from the Blues.
Really?
So, who are
you
golfing from the
with?
Blues.
Graham?
Yeah, my dad. Yeah.
Nice.
So the game's feeling dialed right now. But yeah, driver, I need to work on my driver big time. 3-wood is what I've been killing off the tee. I'm absolute, nice. I'm a maniac with that.
Yeah, you can
straight
smoke that thing, dude.
Like 240 ish. It'll probably go around 250 in the summer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I don't really need my driver.
Yeah,
so if I can just hit that. But I mean, I really want to try and get my handicap down to a single digit this summer. So I might get a lesson and just try and get that driver dialed.
You but, getting close to that single digit right now?
I'm at I think a 10.6.
Oh, that's
right
better
now,
than my
10.6. So yeah, I know I can do it. Like,
I believe it, dude. You can smoke the ball. I, on the other hand, my golf game, I'm gonna get out later today, or I was planning to. It's looking pretty shitty out here in Campbell River right now, but I haven't swung them since the last time we played out at Qualicum Memorial, right before game one of the playoffs, so it's been a while for me, so I wonder if I was able to get any worse. But up where I'm working in Gold River, there's actually a golf course on the way into town, or on the way to the dock, and I went and checked it out, man. It's gorgeous.
Really?
It's unreal, yeah. I haven't played it yet, but I went to Nanaimo yesterday, got all my shit from my place there and grab my club. So hopefully I'll be getting out and swinging them there this week. Cause yeah, it looks really nice.
Do you guys hit balls off the boat?
Yeah, we had an old 5-iron up on the roof and a bucket of balls, but the boat I'm on this year, it's like I said, it's older. I don't know. I don't trust might fall through the roof. I don't. Nah, I'm just kidding. I don't think there's a club on this one. So I don't know. I got I'll have my clubs and stuff in the bag. So I'm going to be sneaking off. We're technically first boat, it's called, so we'll be finishing hopefully around 3 or 4 o'clock every day this week, as opposed to like 1 a.m. midnight. So hopefully get some times to sneak off to the range or hit the course and just play a couple solo rounds, because I don't know if Brett can golf very well.
Big iron dog. Yeah. I don't know if he can swing the clubs.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, and so today we're recording Saturday morning, actually. So later on today, I'm actually volunteering for the Jens camp. I'm not going on the ice. I haven't been on the ice in a year, so I don't trust myself. There's gonna be 08 skating around me if I get out there, and I'll just embarrass myself.
Yeah,
so I'm just on the bench for today, and then tomorrow. So it'll be good. Like, some of the guys from last year, like JT, Rossi.
I think
Vanny,
Obi's there.
A couple other boys, Obi. Yeah, there's a bunch of boys that'll be there, so that'll be good to see all those boys. And then tomorrow after, in the morning. Yeah, Rossi's too. He's too cool to go to the Sunday's game with the Gens. So we're going out to Pheasant Glen at 11 o'clock. Me, Rossi, Shano, and Leardog.
Really? You're catching up with the big man himself.
The big man, yeah. I don't know if I think he's golfed a couple times, but I don't know if he's got the follow through and everything. It's going to be funny to see Thumbs try and grip golf clubs. So.
Yeah, I wonder if his driver's going to go farther than the ball with those little knobs hanging onto his hands.
Yeah. Okay, moving on from the bullshit, let's get right into the NHL talk. So a lot has happened since last episode, but we're going to start off with the Leafs and Bruins. The Leafs come climbing out of a 3-1 hole to force a Game 7. Toronto wins Games 5 and 6. I didn't see that coming at all. Both games were 2-1 scores. Game 5 was an overtime win, 2-1, and then Game 6 was a 2-1 win at home. So this team, without Matthews, they look better without Matthews. I don't know if it's like it's a wake-up call for them that they need to get going. They also put Joseph Wohl in net for Samsonov. He's been playing really, really good. Noel, have you been able to catch any of the series?
I have, actually. I caught the overtime win where Matty Nyes banged in the game winner, and then I caught the good chunk of the first, or the last game where Willie Styles with the hands on the breakaway put the game to bed. But that series, man, it's just like you can't like predict anything, at least in my eyes. Like we talked about it before the series even started, and I told you I was worried about Leafs goaltending and Leafs defense, and that was the case. But now the Leafs are playing absolutely shut down on defense. They're letting in, what did they let in, 2 goals in the last 2 games, and Joseph Wall's been a literal wall back there. I don't know, dude. I don't know what to say, but Game 7 goes back in the Garden. It's going to be crazy in there. And like, I don't know if you've seen this stat, but both of the teams are up for a record.
I did see that.
Yeah, so do you have it pulled up or?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Either way, after Game 7, we're going to either see the Bruins blow a second straight 3-1 series lead, or the Leafs are going to lose a sixth straight Game 7.
Crazy.
So either
stuff.
Either way, we're in for absolute heck. Yeah. Both of these, like it's crazy. We could either see the blow up of the big three in Toronto, or we could start to see a little bit of a almost rebuild in Boston, where who knows if Marchand stays, right? He's been playing great, but at his age, right, you saw the same thing with Bergeron this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the time's dwindling down for Boston, and I know we've been saying that, or lots of people around the hockey world have been saying that for a couple of years now. They just keep finding a way to win, so it's going to be interesting stuff. And what's your prediction for Game 7?
I'm a Leafs fan, like deep down. Like I like the Leafs, you know that. You know I like Matthews. I hope they get it done. I just want to see them win. I know Leafsland will absolutely explode, but I don't know if they can, man. I truly believe in superstitions and curses, and I think the Leafs are cursed in Game 7s, man. And I said it a while ago. It was 3-1, and I was talking, and I said the Leafs are going to come back, and they're going to lose it in 7, and just, like, completely even worse for themselves. Like, it's one thing to lose in Game 5 or 6. Like, that, you just got smoked. But to crawl all the way back and have your fans on the toes and then lose in Game 7, that'd create some upset. But if the Leafs are going to win tonight, it's going to take a huge effort from the guys. It's going to take Marner to step his game up to another level. It's going to take Nylander to just keep producing the way he has been. And John Tavares is going to have to play more like kind of a power forward role. I don't know. There's a lot of guys that have been stepping up. I find that a lot of the like lower guys in the lineup, the third and fourth liners, have been playing far above their level. Like guys like Max Domi's been playing great. Joseph Wall stepped up huge. I think Toronto gets it done tonight in gritty, 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 gritty fashion. I think we're shaping up for an all-time classic, and I can't wait for it. But yeah, well, like I said, curses are real. So despite everything I just said, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Boston just lays a big fucking egg onto the Toronto Maple Leafs. And yeah, but regardless of who wins this series, they're just going to get steamrolled by Florida.
Yeah, Florida's gonna. Yeah, I can't see either of these teams beating Florida, to be honest. So,
but, yeah, regardless of who they're playing next round, who you got tonight? I got Leafs. Hear me now. Saturday morning, I got Leafs winning tonight, 4-3 in overtime.
4-3 in overtime. I think it's gonna be a 2-0 win for Boston.
Oh, that low scoring. See it happening.
Low scoring. Yeah, they need Marner to get going. The Leafs, if they want anything to happen. I saw. I think it was a couple. We might have brought it up last pod, but it was Biz and somebody else, Kevin Bieksa, I think, on Sportsnet. They were absolutely ripping apart Marner for his soft play, and he's played soft this whole series. I mean, in the third period, he scored a goal that game in a. When they lost, I think 3-1 at home or something like that, and he just hasn't looked great in these playoffs. Willie Styles he's come in and he's been his dominant self in the playoffs. He's by far the Leafs' best playoff performer in the last couple of years. He always 100%. steps up in the big occasions, but I don't know if Matthews. Do you think does it matter if Matthews comes back in or not? Like,
I don't know, man. Like, what do you think? Like, you think you see the Leafs are playing better now without Matthews. Do you think it's a case of they don't need Matthews right now, or do you think it's a case of they're rallying to get their boy back in the lineup?
Well, I think they're just rallying in that room. Like, they have nothing to lose. Their backs are against the wall, and they're kind of playing a little bit more freely, yeah. I would say. Like, their bottom six guys. Matthew Nyes has looked great.
Yeah.
I've been watching his games. He's been moving around really nicely with the puck. I don't know if... It'll be interesting to see in the next couple hours what the news is about Matthews, if he plays or not.
I just saw before we started filming that Matthews skated with the team this morning for about... Yeah, Matthews' illness skated at practice through his status, though his status remains unclear. So same as it's been all the week, he skated with the team. Like, I don't know if you caught this. I don't know if you listened to anything, like, but I was listening to this thing, and it was saying that Matthews, if he's sick or has this imaginary flu or this phantom flu, why would he be around the team and traveling and skating with the team? Speculations are saying that maybe he has a concussion, man, because have you ever had a concussion in hockey?
No.
So I've had a few, and when you get a concussion in hockey, it's one of those things, like, you might feel fine when you wake up that day. You go to the rink, you go to the gym, and as soon as you start working hard, like 10, 15, 20 minutes, then it hits you. So I'm curious to see if Matthews is feeling good in the morning and then he's hopping out and then the symptoms hit him. And I don't know. I've been seeing some speculations that maybe Matthews has a concussion. Like, it's gone under the radar. So be curious.
Yeah, I don't think it's an illness.
No,
it's an injury. It's definitely an injury that they're just keeping quiet. So,
I agree.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this game goes. And I guess by the time we upload this Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, you guys are going to know the result. So I know later I'm going to be tuned into that game, having a couple of drinks, watching that one. So yeah, moving on to the next series, Carolina Hurricanes versus the New York Islanders. An absolute steamrolling by the Canes in Game 5, the clinch. They outshot the Islanders 21-8 or something like that in the first period. Like, they wanted that game, and it was domination, I thought, on their part. Teravainen opens the scoring, then Svechnikov, and then you see the Kuz penalty shot to make it 3-1.
Yeah. 13 seconds long.
I know.
Crazy shit to do in the playoffs.
Correct. The shots were 21-4 after the first period for the Hurricanes.
So did you see that the Hurricanes broke their record that they set in game two?
No.
So you remember that you were over at my place, we were watching the game, and they scored one, and then 9 seconds later, bang, they scored another one.
Yeah.
Those two goals apart, 9 seconds apart, were the fastest consecutive goals for them ever, I believe, in the playoffs or any time. And then game six or game five, they go and do it again, man. Drury scores 15-24 in the third period. 8 seconds later, Nosen scores it, or Nason scores again 8 seconds later. So they break their record. It's just like, the Islanders were a dog in that series. I think the games are a little bit closer than a lot of people expected. Like, the Islanders hung around in some of them and they battled till the end. So I give them props for that. But when you're scoring two goals in 8 seconds like that in an elimination game, I think that right there just took all the wind out of their sails. But like you and I have said from the beginning, Carolina Hurricanes are in a different league from the Islanders right now. So I'd be curious to see.
Yeah. Islanders scored two goals in the second to come back, make it 3-3. And then, like you said, Drury scored the goal in the third, and then that little ricochet. Did you see Nason's goal?
No, I didn't went catch off like it. This.
So it got rimmed around the stanchion, and it hit, I guess, a part of the stanchion as Var Larmov was going around the net. So the puck just went right in the crease, and Nason had a tap in.
Really? Same thing that happened in that Oilers game.
Yeah.
You see that happen to Riddick as well? Or not to Riddick, to Skinner, I believe.
Was that Kempe's goal?
Yeah.
Or Dubois?
I don't know who scored it, but I was seeing in the group chat, boys were freaking out about what a crazy bounce. I never caught it myself, but a lot of boys were pissed off about it if they were betting the Oilers spread.
So. Yeah, that's just... Yeah, for the Islanders, that's such a kick in the dick. Like, you come back in the second, you have a big second period, get two goals, you're back into the game, you're feeling good, you got the momentum, and then you let up a goal by from Drury, and you're like, okay, you know what, boys, let's go, let's get going. And then, what, 8 seconds later, that happens. Like, that, it's horrible. And then Seth Jarvis gets the empty netter, the seal off the win. And, yeah, I saw Carolina taking that series, no problem. Like, Islanders played well-ish in some games. They had their moments, but with the goaltending and just how deep Carolina's defense is, it's a no-brainer there that they were going to take that series.
So I wanted to ask you, do you have any standout players from those two series we just mentioned so far? So obviously you touched on Willie Stiles has been great so far for the Leafs, and Marchand's been unreal for Boston. I just want to mention Seth Jarvis for the Carolina Hurricanes. That kid's been hot. He has 3 goals and 4 assists in five games it was that series. That's pretty good for a young guy. And I don't know, I'm starting to become a bigger and bigger fan of that guy every day, just the way he is in the media, and he steps his game up at the right moment. So really, really impressed with his play in that first series, and I sure hope he can carry it on into round two against the Rangers.
Yeah, he looked great, and he looked great ever since the trade deadline acquisition of Guentzel. Like, them two, they've just been clicking so well. And I don't know who's the centerman. Is it? It's not Aho, is it?
I think it is.
Is it Aho?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a dominant first line right there. And, I mean, yeah, Guentzel, he's got 4 points in 5 games these playoffs. Lines look great.
Sorry, I'm just checking the Hurricanes lines. As of their last game, first line sees Jake Guentzel left wing, Aho at center, and right wing Svechnikov. And then the second line has Jordan Staal up the middle of Teuvo Teravainen and Seth Jarvis. So two first lines right there, realistically, give or take Jordan Staal. But those two wingers, Teravainen and Jarvis together, especially on the power play, they're lights out. And dude, ever since you convinced me, who was it, you and Dice?
Or no, you and me Carter? Carter.
You guys have fucking sold me on the Hurricanes. They are clicking, man. They're firing on all cylinders right now.
They're so good, dude. They're so good.
It's scary. It's scaring me. And Rod the Bod, you just know he's in the dressing room. Just like, he definitely has some tricks to get those guys fired up. And we haven't even needed to see him fired up yet. Every game so far has been them basically carrying the pace of play and carrying the game. So look out, New York, because Carolina is no easy task.
Yeah, it's a player for the Islanders that really stepped up, and I guess this whole year stepped up, was Matthew Barzal. He had a really good bounce back year this year. He was an all-star, and he had a point per game season, which is the first point per game season he's had since his rookie year, where he put up 85 points. So yeah, he played well in the playoffs. He was a point per game. He scored an overtime winner. I think it was in game 4. It's going to be interesting to see where the Islanders go next year with Patrick Waugh, if they keep him or not. And, I mean, they got a bunch of aging players. I don't know if they, I guess Lou's pretty stubborn in that way. He's going to probably sign some more players. But,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I don't think there's any way they're going to start a rebuild, but I don't see the team really going anywhere competing for a Stanley Cup in the next couple of years.
No, they're fighting their asses off to get into the playoffs right now, and then they're just getting worked in the first round lately, and it doesn't help. I mean, talk about Ilya Sorokin, just an absolute ghost lately. I don't know what happened to him, because 2 years ago or a year ago, he was the best goalie in the league, in my opinion. He was up for the Vezina. He probably should have got it. And then this year, he only gets put in for one game, and he gets lit up. I think he had a 6.6 save percentage or something like that, and just let in 3 goals on, I believe, 14 shots, which is just unacceptable. I mean, I guess he's not really their starter anymore. It's pretty clear that they've kind of given the net to Semyon Varlamov, which is pretty crazy to me, but yeah, just hopefully if he stays in New York that he can kind of figure his game out.
And moving on to the next series, Tampa versus Florida. What Siri are you talking about?
I don't know. Did you just hear everything I just said about Sorokin?
I did.
Okay, because for some reason Siri also heard it, and she was giving me some attitude.
Oh, she didn't like it? She didn't agree with it?
She didn't agree. She said she wants to suck Lou Lamoriello off or something.
Moving back, Tampa versus Florida. Florida wins 4-1 the series. Like I was saying, I think that's the biggest surprise so far in this playoffs, that I didn't see Tampa losing in that fashion. 4-1, the team that they have and the experience they have. Like, I get Florida's an absolute wagon, but man, I did not see that coming at all.
I really thought that Tampa was going to get another game back, especially after they get Sergachev back and they steal game four. And I thought, there's the momentum swing they needed. Here it comes. Here come the Lightning. But it never seemed to turn around. And honestly, man, correct me if I'm wrong or if you disagree, but that game was a hell of a different game if those goals went in and were not disallowed the way they were.
In the second? Yeah.
Yeah. It
showed two goals in the second. They were weak. 6-1. But
that story did not.
If Tampa had those two goals, it would have been 3-3 or 3-2 Tampa heading into the third.
So yeah, it would have been a completely different game if we saw those goals. And I just wanted to say, some of those calls, some of these goalie interference calls have been absolutely fucking soft lately.
They've been soft.
They've been super soft. Like, what do you need the goalies to go in a bubble suit? Like, it's brutal, man. They're goalies. They have more gear on than everybody. Like, completely understand the rules and everything like that, but like, at some point you just got to realize that the players aren't in the crease on purpose. And just some of the shit, like, I think it was Duclair's one that got disallowed. He was getting held in the crease. He didn't make any contact on purpose. The only contact he made was because he was stuck in there. And I don't agree with things like that, especially in the playoffs, because that those goals get counted. We might be seeing a game seven in that series. Like, I don't know, man. I realize Florida's good, but I just don't think that last game that Tampa got the calls they needed to kind of keep rolling.
That's a huge momentum shift right there, right? Like you mentioned, I don't know why these goalie interference calls keep getting softer and softer every year. It's like, I mean, if the goalie's out of their crease slightly, they're out of their crease. Like, the crease is their safety spot, right? So if there's a little bit of contact outside of the crease, I think it's fair play. I don't think they got to start. It's a dogfight in front of those nets, right? Players are, like, playoff hockey, there's no calls in front. You can basically do whatever you want in front of that net, right? The defenders trying to get the forwards out of there. So, I mean, if it's obviously there's going to be a little bit of contact maybe with the goalie when you're going that hard at it, losing your balance and wobbling all over the ice trying to gain position. So, I don't know. It's definitely something for the NHL to talk about over the summer when they look back at these playoffs, or I guess even heading into the second round, have a discussion with the refs and say, hey, like, what are we seeing here? Because there's a lot of chatter about it. And the Canucks, there was a kind of soft goalie interference call, which we'll get into their games in a little bit. But yeah, it's an interesting topic for sure. But yeah, where do you think this Tampa team goes? Because Stammers, he's out of a contract right now heading into the summer. There's been lots of rumors about whether he's staying, whether he's going. He did say previously that he saw himself as a Tampa Bay Lightning for life. And there was a press conference yesterday, I believe it was, with Julien Brisebois, the GM of the Lightning. He said that they're going to work right away to try and get a contract done with Stammer. So do you think he's going to stay in Tampa, or where do you see that?
I do. Earlier in the year, I was a little bit, I was kind of concerned. I was a little bit not so positive that he was going to be there, but after the kind of the way he dominated this year as, what is he, 38? He's no young cat.
He's old. I don't think he's as old as Ovi, though.
No, he's not that old, but, like, he's no spring chicken, man. He's getting up there in age, and I just remember, like you said, Brisebois, at the start of the year, his tone was a lot different. It wasn't so positive that Stamkos was going to be coming back. They weren't so sold, but when you go, and I'm correct, I don't know how many goals he scored this year, but he scored a
40.
Lot. 40 goal score.
He had 40
at that
goals
age.
In 79 games.
So you might argue that he's a decreasing asset, and sure, he's getting older, he's battling through injuries, but, like, you're scoring 40 goals, man. Like, you don't need to pay this guy. What I see happening is I see Stammer taking a bit of a hometown discount, same way a lot of other stars have done to kind of finish their careers out in places. I see him hoping for a little bit less yearly pay for a longer term. I mean, I think he wants to be there. I think he's such a cultural piece of Tampa Bay. Like, when I think of the Lightning, I think of Steven Stamkos. And I think that for him to move on is just, it wouldn't be ideal. I don't want to see him in another jersey. Just as a hockey fan overall, I just don't think it's good for the game. I love that when players finish their whole career, like especially long Hall of Fame careers, I love when they do it with one team. So personally, I think he might, I think he's going to stay in Tampa Bay for a little bit cheaper than maybe he would get on the open market. But I mean, he's been there since he's been a young kid, and I don't see him wanting to leave. He spent half his life there, so I got Tampa locking him up pretty soon.
Yeah, I think that it's a no-brainer for them. He had 5 goals in 5 games in the playoffs, right? So, I mean, yeah, maybe his boots have slowed down a little bit, but he's still been able to put out the production over a point per game this year. 40-goal score, that's not an easy task in the NHL, and he's 34 right now.
Okay.
He's 34, yeah. So I think he's still got at least 2 or 3 years of 30-plus goals in him. So I could definitely see him taking a hometown discount just to stay with that team. Moving on to the next series, Rangers versus Capitals. I don't have too much to say about this series. Rangers absolutely dominated the Capitals. Pretty boring series, to be honest. I think there's a lot of salty Red Wings fans that were in the comments of the Capitals game. Instagram feeds and their posts, and Flyers fans and Penguins fans, all the teams that were circling around that wild card matchup.
I think it's fucking stupid that the Capitals were in. They were so boring, man. Especially when, if you're watching the Capitals, you're watching Alex Ovechkin, and he was a ghost. Talking about players that showed up and didn't show up, I mean, it's not all on Ovi. He put it on himself when he talked to the media after the series. He said that the reason they didn't succeed was because of him. He was held pointless for his first time in his career, or playoff career, which is, he only had 6 shots on goal throughout the 4-game sweep. Just not the prime Ovechkin, not the Ovi we're used to, not even the Ovechkin we saw throughout the regular season. So that certainly didn't help. But even if he was going, I think the Rangers completely would have outclassed the Capitals. And I think it would have been a lot different of a series, entertainment-wise and games-wise. I mean, Rangers might have swept my Flyers, they might have swept the Red Wings, but in the end of the day, I think that both of those teams, the Flyers and the Red Wings, would have given a lot better of a showing than the Washington Capitals did. So I was pretty pissed off that they got in. Capitals were just sneaky pesky this year, and they snuck in, and they were fucking boring to watch in that series. So glad it's over, and the Rangers are probably sitting poolside eating shrimp and lobsters, getting prepared for the next one after their 2-week vacation, because they just walked. They didn't even break a sweat in that series. So I got nothing to say about it other than my ghost of the series was Ovi, and my star of the series was Shesterkin.
He stood out
great, and he seems to have found his game. And I know it's against Washington, but posting the numbers he did, if he's able to do that into the second round, Carolina's going to have a tough time solving him. So,
yeah, I thought Panarin looked great in that series too. The Rangers are going to be a force to be reckoned with these playoffs. There's a lot of teams in that East and the West that have a good chance to really win. Like, there's so many good teams this year, and it was such an entertaining regular season. And I mean, I think this second round is going to be an absolute dogfight for, I think, in the Eastern Conference. The Rangers, they're going to be playing Carolina, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a heavyweight tilt right there. We'll get into the second round matchups in a little bit, but yeah, I think the Rangers, they've looked great these playoffs. They've handled the Capitals pretty well, and yeah, just a little bit of a boring series. So let's move on to the first Western Conference matchup that we'll go over: the Winnipeg Jets versus the Colorado Avalanche. Colorado wins 4-1 after in our predictions. We both had the Jets, correct?
We had Jets in 7.
Yeah, and Jets didn't even sniff them.
No. I think you and me got a little bit too horned up on the regular season Jets. Because
right after they whooped Colorado 7-0.
Yeah.
I think the story of that series is Connor Hellebuyck just going nowhere. Where was he?
He was
I didn't see him. Everything was going in the back of the net. It was his worst five-game stretch of his NHL career. And Colorado just made him look like an AHL goalie. That McKinnon, Rantanen, and Nikushkin line was so dumb. Nikushkin had 7 goals in that series. It's like 7 goals in 5 games. Are you kidding me? In the playoffs? He's just an absolute dog. And yeah, that Colorado team, they're looking dangerous. Georgiev, he didn't even play great. I think he didn't even have a .900 save percentage, but they still found a way to get it done. Noah, what do you think about this series? Because
yeah.
I thought it was just complete domination by Colorado in the last 3 games of the series. And
so yeah. As you and I kind of talked about, we thought it was going to be a little bit of a back and forth between them, maybe a goalie battle, and we thought that Winnipeg would have the edge in the battle because of Hellebuyck, and that wasn't the case, as you just mentioned. Hellebuyck, every single game, he was just letting in weak goals. You just need timely stops from your stud goalie, and when he's not delivering, you can't build any momentum, and we saw that. Like, he didn't dominate, and you and I, we also kind of shit on Georgiev a little bit. Like, we thought that he was going to be the reason maybe Colorado lost, but that wasn't the case at all. He was stellar in his games he played. I'm looking at his last, he had 33 stops on 36 shots in the last game, 9.2 save percentage. He had 9.7 save percentage. Like, he played well, especially after you and I kind of dogged on him and we thought that he wouldn't be able to deliver. So the goalie battle, honestly, which is surprising to me as it is to anybody else, Georgiev takes it. So Hellebuyck was a ghost, which was crazy. And that Nichushkin line, like you mentioned, welcome back to that big dog. He is just absolutely buzzing, tearing it apart. And nobody can skate with the Nate dog in the playoffs. That guy's he's a different animal. Turned from the Nate dog to the Nate Pitbull dude in playoffs. He is fun to watch. He finds another gear every single year in the postseason, and he just buzzes around. It's crazy to me, and he is fun to watch. And I think that there's nobody in the NHL that can kind of skate with the Colorado Avalanche right now, except maybe the Edmonton Oilers, which we'll kind of get into as we talk about some predictions here. But just looking at that Avalanche team, they are so fast and they are so skilled. They're looking really good, man.
Mm-hmm. And I got to give props to the Jets too this year, maybe not in the series, but just looking about how they battled this year. And you look at the headlines heading into the regular season, and people around the hockey world really weren't sure of where they were headed, right? They couldn't get a deal done with Scheifele, couldn't get a deal done with Hellebuyck, and trade Pierre-Luc Dubois for a couple LA Kings players, and you're really not sure where that team's going. And Rick Bonus, give him all the props in the world. He coached that team to play with an edge, play aggressively, have really good structure, and they dominated in the regular season, one of the best Western Conference teams. And I think that they're going to stay around that Western Conference battle for the Stanley Cup. I think they're going to be a contender again next year, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do over the summer, if they keep Toffoli or keep Monahan, a couple players they brought in. Nola, what do you think about the Jets heading into the summer?
I don't know, man. I don't know what they can change. Like, we see it quite often. Like, I think you just touched on it. I think they exceeded their expectations in the regular season this year. Going into it, they weren't like a huge favorite, and they went and made some big moves and got some big pieces, and they went on a pretty dominant run in the regular season. So, I mean, aside from that 5-game slide in the playoffs, I think that the Jets have a core that can go deep, like you mentioned. I don't know what they can change or what they will change, but Hellebuyck needs to be on his game, and they need to have their guys going. And I just think that it was a matter of not being ready and not being prepared and just kind of getting a really tough matchup, getting lined it up against the Colorado Avalanche in the first round, because it might have been a different story if they saw somebody else in the first round. So I think that we'll have to just sit back and see what happens in Winnipeg, but I don't think we're going to see any crazy moves over the offseason with them.
And moving along to the next series, your Vancouver Canucks. What a series that was to be a Canucks fan. they did not deserve to win games three or four in Nashville, but they find a way to get it done. Their last game, last night, actually, game six, 1-0 win in Nashville. Such a good game. Arthur Silvos comes up, third goalie in this series that the Canucks have played, which I don't think we've ever seen that before in a playoff series. Three different goalies from the same team. The Canucks, they're going to be playing the Oilers in the second round.
Yeah, they were good, man. Silovs came in and he was hot. I don't know if you caught the game last night, but
he just
was kicking. And I mean, personally, I thought that was one of the more boring first round series just because of lack of scoring and kind of lack of drama. I don't know. That might just be my take on it. Like when I watch hockey, I like to see the excitements, but they played good tight hockey and they played good defense, and Vancouver got some clutch scoring at the right times, and a lot of it was depth scoring. I mean, like, look at last night, the game-winning goal with a minute left on the clock was Pia Sutter, and for game one, Dakota Joshua was the star. And I guess that's kind of what you need to be successful in the playoffs, especially when you have guys like Elias Pettersson just along for the ride, just completely coasting, not doing shit.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything this series. It's, as a diehard PD fan, I love him. I got a reverse retro jersey of his. I don't know what's going on there. He hasn't looked good at all. He's been playing with Mikheyev and Hoglander for most of the series. They've just been playing dump and chase hockey, really. Like, I haven't seen any skill from PD. He's not playing with the puck. Even on the power play, he hasn't looked great. He looks weak. He keeps falling over on the ice. I don't want to call him a regular season merchant right now, but he's got to find a way to step it up in the second round. And yeah, he was a ghost out there, but that third line with Lindholm, Garland, and Joshua, that was a huge difference maker in this series. Yeah, going back to game four, when the Canucks won in overtime, 4-3. Huge game that Besser had a hat trick, two goals in the final 3 minutes of that game. Lindholm gets the overtime winner. What a game in Nashville. And then, yeah, the Canucks win 1-0 last night to move on. So I love it. I'm going to try and catch a game at some point, I think, in Vancouver. I know our buddy Braden Ross, he went to the game when they lost, was it 2-1 against Nashville?
Yeah, the game where Zadorov scored.
yeah. So that seemed like an absolute, the stadium is buzzing the whole time. The fans are up. So the Canucks definitely got home ice advantage whenever they're playing at Rogers. So yeah, it's going to be really fun to see what they do in the second round.
Yeah, despite home ice advantage, though, in the second round, the Oilers are -200 and something favorites to beat the Canucks. So
I don't care.
It doesn't matter. Odds don't mean shit.
I got Canucks.
I'm good. I'm glad you do. But yeah, they're going to be walking into the Lions' den when they face the Edmonton Oilers. And I'm curious to see what will happen with goaltending. And I'm curious to see if they can get their big guys kind of going. And by big guys, I mean your boy Petey. So all in all, though, good series. I love it as a Canadian and a boy from Vancouver Island. I love seeing the Canucks move on. Not necessarily my favorite team, but I love to see them succeed, and just to see the city come alive and just how packed and how alive that arena is. It's pretty cool to see, and I'd like to see them go as deep as they can. So yeah, fingers crossed, man.
Yeah, and moving on to their opponent that we're going to see in the second round, the Edmonton Oilers, their series against the Kings. Oilers just dominated, man. Hyman, McDavid, that clicking. McDavid had 12 points in five games.
There.
Draisaitl scoring again. Just domination by this Oilers team. They are looking like an absolute heavyweight. Nola, were you able to catch a lot of those games?
I was, honestly. Those were the late games. They're on at 7:30, so I was able to throw them on, and they were electric, man. They didn't disappoint. I love to watch the Oilers play. I, like I said in the last podcast, I think you could stick me on in front of the net and I'd score a couple, but they're good, dude. Like, they are good. Their power play is unstoppable. They had 100% penalty kill through the five-game series as well, which is just utter domination. And while you're having a PK like that, your power play is clicking. I think, I don't know what the statistics were on their power play, but it's 100% the most power or scary power play in the playoffs right now. So, I mean, fun to watch, fun to see McDavid dominating like he does. Draisaitl, you can tell that he plays with a little bit more grit and a little bit more kind of firing his game in the playoffs time, because he's hot, man, and he's been shooting, he's been scoring, and Hyman's just doing his thing, getting to the net, and even Corey Perry's in there mixing it up. Bouchard's firing on all cylinders. They look good. They're getting hot at the right time. Skinner played great. He stole them a game, in my opinion. I don't know.
In LA, yeah.
Yeah, in LA, he had the shutout. So, I mean, even like when they're not getting their scoring from their big dogs, they're getting the saves on the back end, and that's the recipe for a successful playoff team. So, fun to watch. I cannot wait to see this second round matchup between them and the Vancouver. But on like another note on that series, LA, they were just a sleeper in this playoffs. They were no fun. They were not very exciting. And you saw Kevin Fiala talking after it. He was asked if he enjoyed the 1-3-1, and he said something along the lines of, when it works, but when they're just chipping the puck and they figure out a way to beat it, it's useless. And he basically said he wishes they would have gone to a different system throughout the playoffs. So, yeah, hard to see what'll happen in LA, but I think that they're not moving any farther than where they are right now with the core they have. So I think some changes need to be made in LA if they want to get past the Oilers, because the Oilers are kind of, they're just dragging. Reminds me of Vancouver trying to get past Chicago all those years ago. So yeah, move on from there.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on the Kings quickly.
Yeah.
They got some good pieces. I mean, it sucks that Doughty's getting older, but they got some good young players coming up, like Jordan Spence and who's the other? Is it Brandt?
Yeah. Brandt Clark.
Yeah. He's going to be a stud in the NHL. So they got some good prospects coming up. Quinton Byfield, you saw a big improvement this year out of him. That's what they needed. Fiala's been doing what he's been doing. Kempe has been awesome in that series and throughout the regular season. But we talked about him before with the coaching change. Pierre-Luc Dubois, embarrassing series for him. He looked so uninterested. I don't know who I'd rather have, Pedersen in the first round or Dubois in the first round. Like, both those teams just look, or both those players just look brutal out there. And you need to get rid of him. He's $8 million on the books. He's playing third line minutes. He doesn't even look like he wants to be out there. It's embarrassing to have him on your team.
Player in the NHL.
I used to be a fan of him. I used to have like belief in him that he could figure his shit out. And I liked big body and skill.
He's a great hockey player, but his attitude is just absurd.
Attitude,
man.
Sucks.
He
seems like such a cancer in that room. I don't think many players in that room like him.
Yeah.
To be
quite
honest. You
even see him in the box. I don't know if you caught game five, but he went to the box and somebody was already in there, Fiala, and just the way that, like, his body language, it seems like even, like, his teammates just don't like this guy. I don't know. I could be completely speculating, but I don't believe that.
I agree.
Dubois is a great teammate, and I do not love his attitude in the playoffs. He just didn't want to be there, like you mentioned, and you got to have your star players and the guys you're playing the big bucks. They got to want to be there and they got to will themselves to win. And he didn't give a shit that whole series. And I thought it was just a piss poor effort out of him. So not too thrilled with him.
Yeah. Moving along to the next series now. Dallas versus Vegas. What a series this has been.
Wow.
Vegas takes the first two games in Dallas. Then Dallas comes over to Vegas, takes both those games. And then Dallas wins game five at home. First home win of that series. And then Vegas comes back home. They win 2-0. We're going to see a game seven Sunday night.
What a
series that has been. I think the MVP for Dallas so far has been probably Jake Ottinger and Wyatt Johnson.
Wyatt Johnson, those two gamer, man.
He's been playing great. What a pickup he was. Late first round pick. Absolute steal in that draft.
Dude, you've been fond of him since the draft. I remember you kind of pumping his tires to me a long time ago. I didn't know a whole lot about him. Good Canadian boy, though, and he's just ripping the pill from everywhere. And him and Stankoven, they're playing on a line with Jamie Benn. I absolutely love what Dallas does with their young players. They have all the confidence in the world in their young stars, and they want them to succeed. Like, last night, watching the game, Stankoven, Wyatt Johnson, and Jamie Benn were out there, like, every shift, it seemed like. And that's what you love to see. They have faith, and they need to have faith in their young guys because that's their core right now. And, man, have they delivered. I mean, sure, Stankoven hasn't been putting up the numbers that we know he can. Wyatt Johnson's kind of picked up the slack, though, on his end. And they just look like a scary line. They're buzzing around the zone. controlling the play. It's fun to watch. And originally I said that I think that Vegas was going to wipe the floor with Dallas. I had Vegas in five. And after watching the first two games, I was looking like my prediction was bang on. 2-0, they go up in the series, and then seemed like something clicked in Dallas's dressing room because they found another gear. And it's been like my favorite series so far of the first round by far. It's not like teams are taking nights off. Every single one of these games have been a grudge match. They are, both teams want to win. Both teams' goalies are kicking. Both teams' stars are playing. It is electric, man. And I sat down and saw the game last night, and sure, it was a bit of a snooze fest up until Hanifin broke the game open and early in the third, or halfway through the third. But wow. Wow, wow, wow. Game 7 goes in Dallas, I believe. It's going to be an absolute classic. Could talk about this series all day long, but do you have anything you want to bring up about it?
I thought it was funny after the first two games when we did make our predictions, when you thought Vegas was going to walk up, you texted me saying, do you agree with me now that Vegas is walking Dallas? You felt pretty confident about your take, and fuck, you said they were going to walk them. They take both the games away. And then headed to Vegas, obviously they lose those two games. But I texted you back and I said, I mean, so far they've dominated. A lot can happen, though.
Yeah.
Look what's happened. Now we see a game 7.
I'm eating my words. I still... who do you think takes it Sunday night?
Fuck, man.
It's a coin flip.
God, dude. It's going to be such a good game. I'm going to say Vegas just because I have a future on them.
So do I. I got money on Vegas to win the cup from a while ago. I got them at plus 1,500, I believe, and they're just so deep, dude. I do also believe, I did say that everybody's going, but I do believe that Vegas has some guys that can find another gear. I think Marchessault has been buzzing. I think Eichel's been great. Logan Thompson, Aiden Hill, both stealing games and just playing good in there. Petro, he's got a little bit more to give. Hanifin's got a little bit more, I think, in the tank, but...
big goal from him last game.
Hanifin, huge goal, man. Huge goal. I saw it, and I didn't actually see the goal. I was on my phone, but the TV just erupted. Like, Vegas wants to win. They're a hockey town. They are loving their Golden Knights right now. So, I mean, I want to see Vegas move on personally. I don't know. A lot of people hate the Golden Knights, but they just have so many stars, man, and they're fun to watch. So, fingers crossed they can get it done on Game 7. Regardless, though, of who wins, it's going to shape up for probably the matchup of the playoffs in the West between Colorado and either Vegas or Dallas. So,
Colorado will be playing either Dallas or Vegas. Okay.
So that's what I was thinking. Like, I was talking about how good Colorado's being. Colorado getting out of that series in five games at the rate they were playing, they're going to be hot, and they're going to be playing against completely banged up Dallas or completely banged up Vegas, because this hasn't been a light, like, pussyfooting series. They're playing hard, hard playoff hockey. So I think that whoever gets out of this series is going to match up very well against Colorado, and we're going to see another phenomenal round coming up soon here.
Yeah, it's going to be... I'm so excited to watch this Game 7, and just the second round is going to be electric. Yeah. Let's move into the updated bracket as of Saturday, May the 4th today. Yeah, Canucks versus Oilers, and then we're also going to see Rangers versus Carolina, either the winner of Dallas and Vegas playing Colorado, and then what's the other match?
Florida playing against either Boston or Toronto. So let's make our predictions for the next round here while I got you here. Let me bounce these off your head. Let's actually keep them a little more dialed this time. I'm answering these not from a fan of the team perspective. I'm going to do it with my honest gut take, and I want to kind of track these and see how close we can get them. So let's say second round matchup, Carolina versus New York. Who you got and why?
Carolina. I'm going to take Carolina in six. I think this Carolina team, they've been hungry for the last couple of years. The Rangers, I mean, I've been watching a lot of their series over the last couple of years, like their series last year against the Devils when they got manhandled in some games. I don't trust this Rangers team. Sure, I think bottom six, Carolina takes the edge there. I think defense, they have a deeper defensive core. And then, I mean, goaltending, I would take Shesterkin for sure, but Freddie Anderson's been playing great. He's been playing really well. So, I mean, overall, I look at how Carolina, their barn gets bumping, PNC Arena. I've been talking about it a little bit. It gets buzzing there. They definitely have home ice advantage. They're always up. I have Carolina in that series in six.
I got Carolina in seven. For all the same reasons you just said, I think Carolina has the edge in the depth department. I think this series is going to go the distance. I think that it's going to be classic. I think it's going to be the classic. Rangers win both at Madison Square Garden. Carolina win both at the PNC. It's going to shape up for an all-time battle. But I think in the end, Carolina can outlast the Rangers. I think Rod has instilled a mentality into them that is just win at all costs. And that's what I see when I watch the Hurricanes. Like ever since you and Carter convinced me, I've been a big fan of them. And I really like how I'm stacked up against the Rangers here. So give me Carolina in seven. Give me Frederick Anderson stealing a couple games. Give me Seth Jarvis dominating and giving me an Aho hat trick sprinkled in there somewhere.
So who's your MVP in that series?
Before my prediction?
Just with your prediction.
My prediction is going to be Frederick Anderson MVP of the series.
Okay.
Who you got?
I like that pick. I'm going to take, I think Gensel's going to come up big.
You think he's going to find that extra gear he's got?
Yeah. He had 4 points in the first round. I think they expected maybe a couple more points out of him production wise.
Yeah.
I think he's really going to step it up this level, like we've seen him do in so many playoff runs with the Pittsburgh Penguins. One other little tidbit,
just kind of thing about the Hurricanes is we talk about how deep they are. They are getting scoring from everywhere in their lineup right now. First line to fourth line, first pairing to third pairing. They're getting scoring and points and production from everywhere, whereas the Rangers aren't necessarily doing that. Sure, they're getting some kind of goals from Rempe or whatever, but they're playing the Capitals. Carolina was playing a shutdown Islanders team and kind of picking them apart. So I think Carolina is going to just, they're going to go the distance. I think it goes seven. I think Carolina can outlast them and they steal game seven. And that's my official prediction. So moving on, we got Edmonton and Vancouver. That's the next one I want to talk about. Who you got in that series as a Canucks fan?
I got my Canucks.
Yeah?
Let's go.
From an analyst perspective, or from a fan Canucks perspective. All right,
Both.
Yeah?
I think we're going to see a resurgence of Petey in this series. Against the Oilers this year, he had 8 points in five games. The Canucks dominated the Oilers in the regular season. They won all four of their matchups against them. I mean, yeah, this Oilers team, they're scary. Let's be honest. They're a scary team.
They are scary.
They're an absolute heavyweight this year. It seems like they've found their goaltending and their decor's really picked up, which was kind of their con over the last couple of years. But I got the Canucks. I think we're gonna see Tok change up the lines a little bit. I think he's gonna give Petey a little bit more help. Maybe switch around Miller. Maybe see the Lotto line come back a little bit. Yeah, I think we're gonna see the Canucks pull this one in seven.
Wow. Okay.
They have home ice advantage as well.
They do, and they'll need it. I agree. Mm-hmm. And also keep in mind that Canucks swept the season series this year against the Oilers. And they were like dominant, but I think that honestly, looking back at it, as we see from the Avs and the Jets, regular season doesn't mean shit in the playoffs. Honestly, man, I hate to lay a prediction on this one. My gut tells me, my heart tells me Canucks. My heart tells me Canucks in six. My gut tells me Oilers in five.
Oilers in five?
Yeah.
You think the Canucks only get one win out of them?
Oilers, it's going to go six games. Oilers, I believe. You're right.
Okay.
I think Canucks are able to steal two, but I just think, man, the firepower is too much for the Canucks to handle right now. I might change my tune a little bit if the or Canucks can get Demko back, but I don't think that this young stud Shylovs can stand up to the power of the Oilers' power play, and it's crazy, man. They're just clicking on all cylinders. Canucks barely scraped out against the Nashville Predators. Like you said yourself, as a diehard fan, they didn't deserve to win Game 3 and 4, but they did. Sure, they dominated at times, and they looked like a contender at times, but for the majority, I didn't see the Canucks team that I think we need to see to beat an Oilers team like this. So I got Oilers in six games is my official prediction. My heart wants to see the Canucks move on, but speaking analytically, I think the Oilers are just a little bit too good for the Canucks right now. If they get Demko back and they get Petey buzzing, I would be more than happy to eat my words, but we'll have to sit back and see, man.
Demko's been back on the ice. I think it was 3 days ago, back out practicing, doing some basic goalie drills. So I think he's still a week or so away from playing, or at least going into some hard practices. So if they get him back, that's a huge plus. But Sulos, he played really well. He had a shutout last night in the 1-0 win. I think teams rally around that stuff in the playoffs, right? You have depth players coming in. One instance I remember is when Dallas went to the Stanley Cup final against Tampa a couple of years ago during COVID. They had a guy named
Kiviranta.
Kiviranta. He had a hat trick in his first NHL game to send Dallas off to the final.
I wanted to bring him up, actually. I'm getting very similar vibes from Wyatt Johnson right now. I'm getting very similar vibes. Like, he's playing, he's just like, just stepping up in the playoffs, a young guy, same way Kiviranta did, kind of came out of the woodwork and just dominating in the playoffs. I love that Dallas just produces guys like that, like gritty guys that can score, and they play the hot hand. Dallas loves to do that. If guys are going, they're playing. And I wanted to bring that name up as well, so I'm glad you did, because I'm getting very similar kind of vibes from Wyatt Johnson that I did from Kiviranta a few years back. Back to the Canucks and Oilers. I just want to say, like we see talks up for the Jack Adams. I think that it shouldn't even be close. I think that he's been a phenomenal coach for the Canucks this year. And I saw a really cool tweet. Demko was obviously really crushed and disheartened in the dressing room. He was crying in the dressing room because his season was done. And Talk went up and sat with him and talked to him and said, "Your season's not done because we're still going to be playing by the time you're healthy." And that was it. And I think Demko has in his mind that he's coming back and he's going to help the Canucks move on. And honestly, if things go well and things fall into places at the right time, Canucks, man, you never know. It's one of those teams they're not a dominant super powerhouse team. They need things to go their way, and I'd love to see it happen. So, I'm so excited to sit back and observe. But official prediction, Oilers in six.
Okay, I got my Knucks. So,
and who you got?
We'll see how it goes.
You seem pretty confident that Petey's going to find his groove. So is he your pick for MVP of the series at this point?
MVP? I don't think he'll be MVP. I think he'll be... What would I give him? What award
Unsung
would
hero?
I give him? Yeah, that's a good award. Yeah. I can see him putting up... in a seven-game series, I can see him putting up about 7 or 8 points. Yeah. I think he'll get a couple goals. He's been snake-bitten. He doesn't have his confidence. I think facing a new opponent, going into a new series, feeding off your teammates, a little bit of time off, regroup, settle in.
I hope he does as well, man, because when he's on, he's on. So, my prediction for that series is, I don't know.
Oilers in six.
Yeah, Oilers in six. And my MVP/player of the series is going to be, I don't know. I don't want to say McDavid, but give me Draisaitl. Give me Draisaitl. Obviously, McDavid's going to dominate regardless of how the series goes, but give me Draisaitl to be a game changer.
Okay, and I want to hear your predictions for just quickly. So Colorado, they've moved on to the second round, like we mentioned, and Florida. So looking over to those matchups that haven't been decided yet, waiting on both game sevens with Dallas and Vegas and Toronto and Boston. So if Vegas or Dallas moves on, or I guess what I'm asking is, what team can you see those results going up against Colorado? Like if Dallas moves on to the second round, what do you see happening there? And if Vegas moves on?
I think, I think that Dallas stacks up better against Colorado. I do. I don't know if that's anything like truth or any like kind of numbers behind that, but just watching them in the playoffs past, Dallas has always given Colorado an absolute fight. So I think if Dallas gets through, I think they give them a very good battle. And I think if Vegas gets through, it's going to be the same story. Completely different series, regardless of who gets through. But I think if Vegas gets through, give me Colorado in six. And I think if Dallas gets through, give me Colorado in seven. I think Colorado comes out of that division regardless. I just watching them, man, Mile High City, like, they're flying around up there. They've just reached another level. Nathan McKinnon's just willing his team. You know that Nathan McKinnon doesn't accept any passengers on the Colorado Avalanche. With him being the leader of the team with Landeskog out, I know he doesn't take shit. You see all the things. He doesn't take anything. He doesn't take guys taking games or shifts off. And I think that he's just going to push and push and push and motivate his guys to another deep run. And I think that Colorado's built for it again this year with him, Makar, Nichushkin back, Devontae's finding a game. My only question mark for the Colorado Avalanche is, as we said before the playoffs, is Georgiev. So hard to say where it'll go. We don't even know the official matchup. I say you and I can throw out an Instagram story when we get the official matchups for the second round with all our predictions. But regardless of who Colorado stacks up against, I got Colorado coming out of it, coming out of the West.
I think, so this is an interesting one. I think Dallas and Vegas in their series, I think they match up very closely. I think they have pretty similar teams. Mm-hmm. They have the top scoring. They have number one centers. They have star players on their team. They have good defensemen. They have good goalies. I think whoever gets out of that series, I think they take Colorado in six.
Oh, really?
Yeah, either Vegas or Dallas. I think they both take Colorado. Just because I can't see Ottinger or Hill or Thompson playing as badly as what Hellebuck did, and yeah. I think that's a huge reason why. I think that's the reason why Colorado won 4-1 in that series is because of Hellebuck. Jets didn't play that bad, to be honest. Their team
mm-hmm.
should have been a lot closer of a series, and Hellebuck just laid an egg. So yeah. I think with the goaltending that both those teams have, I think they take Colorado.
I like that, man. I like that take. I just think that Colorado's firepower is something you can't really touch. It's hot right now. Have to sit back and see. I like the prediction, though. But another thing that I got to take into perspective, and I take in part of my prediction here, is Colorado just wiped the floor with the Jets in five. They have time to recover, regroup, practice, skate as a team. Vegas and Dallas are going to be coming out of this thing banged up and tired. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes teams just ride the wave. Whatever team wins in seven is going to be hot. They're going to be living off like the high of winning that game seven. So whoever comes out of it, they're going to have a bit of mojo, but they're also going to be facing a well-rested, well-trained Colorado Avalanche. So honestly, man, our predictions, we could be both right. We could both be completely wrong. So I'm just excited as a fan to sit back and see. And now moving on.
I want to just mention the sure. thing that you said about the rest.
Sure.
Yeah, it can go both ways. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, if you get too much rest and you're playing the Peninsula Panthers in the finals, there's...
yeah, then when you four-game sweep the Storm and then Nolo's puking peanut butter in Evan's driveway before we're facing the Panthers and all the boys are coming off a bender like we just won the league. I don't know, man, but I think that whoever comes out of that series is I think the Avalanche might be a little bit more disciplined than a bunch of drunk 19, 20-year-old generals back in the past. So I like that you brought that up because that was in the back of my head as well.
So for anybody that doesn't know what went on, so 3 years ago now, I guess, when Arnie was the captain, we had Weimer. It's kind of that was the year CJ's coming out party. We went to the finals, played Komak's first round, seven-game series. I think we won 2-1 or 1-0. Yeah. And then, I think it was 2-0, actually. And then, yeah, next series, we sweep the Storm. And after we sweep the Storm, we're like, we got so much time. We were watching the Peninsula, I think it was Carey Park series. Mm-hmm. And we had a little bit too much fun. And all the boys went on like a 3-day bender before finals and absolutely laid an egg in that series. First three games,
the boys came out still hungover, a little bit of booze legs. And I think everybody knew it, but we found our game. We got game four and game five back, but it was a little bit too much. It's tough to win four straight in the playoffs, yeah. especially in the finals. But yeah, hopefully the Avalanche are staying away from the crunchy peanut butter mixed with White Claw.
Yeah, the Nate dog will not be into I don't even think players can have like cookies or anything on that team.
No,
not dude, around the Nate dog.
Nuh-uh.
But yeah, here we go. Last series here. Same kind of situation. We don't know who they'll see, but Panthers are in for sure. Panthers look just as scary, riding the wave of Matthew Tkachuk. Barkov's hot. Reinhardt's hot. Verhaeghe's an absolute wagon come playoffs. And talk about Bobrovsky. He's found his game again. Scary stuff in Florida, but they're going to be stacking up against either the Big Bad Bruins or the everybody's favorite Toronto Maple Leafs. What do you got there, man? Same kind of thing. We don't know who they got yet, but
Florida in five against whoever they face.
I think if it's the Leafs, Florida in five, and I think it's the Bruins, Florida in six, because I think that if the Bruins get through to see Florida again, they're going to want some vengeance for last year. I think they'll have a little bit more FU in their game, a little bit more grit than Toronto will. I don't think Toronto possesses the ball. I don't think that Toronto has the sack hanging between their legs to go into the second round and do anything. They have the skill, but they don't have the balls, man. And that's what it comes down to come playoff time. Yeah, I'm with you on that one 100%. Give me Boston or Florida to beat Boston in six or Florida to beat Toronto in five.
Yeah, I like it. I see Florida moving on either way. So if we both have Florida in that series, who's your pick in the Carolina Rangers series? You have Carolina?
I have Carolina in seven.
Fuck, what a third round we'd see there, Florida versus Carolina.
That would be one for the ages, dude.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. We're only not even through the first round yet, dude.
That's what I mean, dude.
I'm so horny for playoff hockey, and we're not even through the first round.
This year's second playoff, round is going to be awesome.
You and I have been saying it since the regular season. This year's playoffs were going to be electric. The teams and the storylines have been great this year, and we're only getting started, baby. Next week, we'll have a couple second-round matchups to talk about, a couple second-round games to talk about. But, yeah, I'm going to lay out an Instagram post with our predictions. You guys can kind of give us your feedback and all that stuff. If you're got any arguments, let's hear it. But, yeah, man, we're shaping up for an absolute barn-burner second round, and I hope you're as ready as I am for these.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun to watch. And just to wrap up the episode, we had our prediction with in episode 11. Actually, not our prediction, sorry. Our sources telling us about what's happening in the VI, and the news comes out that the PP3 boys were right all along and our sources were correct about the VI moving out of Hockey Canada. Nolo, do you want to elaborate on this story?
Yeah, so as we kind of talked about episodes prior, the VIJHL, there was rumors it was going to go rogue, it was going to go independent, it was going to kind of become this feeder league for the BCHL, and look at what happened. The boys had it right. We had sources in the inside that kind of were around the VIJHL, and we had the news about, I'd say, 3 weeks before it came out, 2 or 3 weeks before it came out. At the filming time. No, 3 weeks now. I guess it came out.
2 weeks.
2 weeks early, we knew what was happening. We still don't know the full details of what's going to be changing in the landscape of the VIJHL and the BCHL and how it's going to intertwine, but we do know for sure that the VIJHL is now going rogue. And what an absolute, that's just throwing the whole BC junior hockey thing in a blender once again. Things are changing fast. I'm honestly glad that I'm done at this point, man. Like, sure, it would have been cool to play with visors, sure, it would have been cool to kick some little kids' asses, but looking back at it, it's almost like, I don't know, man, all this gong show that's going on in the leagues, it's tough to follow, and I think it just makes it difficult for players and their parents and families alike to kind of find out where to send kids. And looking at it, man, with the updates, as soon as this happens, the first two players the Campbell River Storm sign are not even from this continent. They sign a kid from Czech and they sign a kid from somewhere else. Like, shit's going to change. I think the VIJHL, as we know, it's going to be a lot different in the next couple years. I think we're going to start seeing a lot less local kids, a lot less of the gritty VI kids coming up from minor hockey, playing for their hometown teams or their local teams, a lot less island boys. I think the VI is going to see some serious changes here. So sit back and enjoy the ride, I guess, if you're a fan, and if you're a player, keep us posted with everything you hear in behind the scenes. But a lot of changes coming, and yeah, man, I guess we just got to sit back and observe, and if we hear anything from our sources again, we'll be the first to bring it to you. And happy to say that we broke that first on our podcast here, so
yeah,
I hope you guys caught it, and Thank you for listening once again. What a great episode. Keezer, love sitting down with you, buddy. Anything you want to say before we head out here?
Yeah, so we posted a poll on our Instagram about your guys' takes on whether this was good for junior hockey on Vancouver Island, and 82% of you guys said yes, it was, with VI moving out of Hockey Canada. And originally, when I first heard the news, I was like, okay, you know what? They need to do something because the level of the VI has gone downhill to skill-wise. And I don't, like, this year, especially watching my first year being out of the league and seeing the teams and looking at some of the players, like, a lot of the bottom six players on the team should be playing house hockey, or not house hockey, but
rep,
like,
hockey.
Rep hockey, right? They're not junior players. And the league needed to do something. Is this it? I don't know. There's a lot. You're like, it's going to be really, really hard. I was talking to one of the GMs in the VI, and they were talking about how this is going to fuck up a lot of teams with funding, because now you don't get funding from Hockey Canada, right? You look at a lot of these junior teams, a lot of the Victoria teams that don't get any fans to their games. They don't bring in any merchandise or ticket sales. They're relying on a lot of funding from Hockey Canada in order for them to keep afloat and in order for them to travel across the island. Now they don't get this. So you're losing funding. How are you going to replace that? You charge the kids more. You try and get more sponsorships, you can't rely on more sponsors unless you want your jerseys to look like Euros. Soccer jerseys where, yeah, you have sponsorships all over your jersey. Like, it just looks stupid. And I think you're going to see, I mean, the league minimum, correct me if I'm wrong, Nolo, because you played last year, but 2 years ago, I think it was $5,500. Then it went up to $7,500, right?
So
what are you going to see kids paying next year? They're going to be, some teams are going to be charging almost double that.
There's already teams charging over 10 grand to play.
How can people afford that? It's playing not, junior B hockey.
That's what I mean. It's, a lot of players played junior B that were good enough to go play otherwise or go play other places. They play junior B because it's cheap and they can pay out of their pocket and they can work and they can go to school. But now what? You're paying the fucking same to go play for the Storm as you are to play at a top end academy. And that's what just gets me a little bit frustrated, is it just takes away from the kind of idea of what junior B is to me on the island. Like, it's the jungle. It's not anymore. It's going to be a bunch of rich kids coming in from wherever the hell they want, because they can pay 14 grand or whatever, 12 grand to play for a team and wear a visor. I personally think it might bring in some skill, but at the same time, I don't think it's good overall for the league. Like, that's my personal opinion. I don't know what benefit of it. And if it was so good for the league, then why aren't all the KIJHL and why aren't all the PJ teams and why aren't all the other junior A leagues and teams in Canada doing it as well? I think that this is just VIJHL wanting to follow in BCHL's footsteps because they're the closest team to that or league to that league. And I think they want to set up a kind of farm thing and they want to be the first to do it. But in the end of the day, I'm not too sure what this will mean for the teams, what this will mean for the players. I'm curious to see, man. Like I said, we'll keep you posted on everything we hear. But yeah, I like your take on it.
I think one or two teams are going to be folding in the next couple of years.
Well, you got to think about it.
I honestly think that. I think you're going to see a team like maybe the Kraken and or Kerry Park. Like, Kerry Park, they're in a tough situation in the South, right? Because, I mean, you're not in Victoria. Mm-hmm. You're not near Nanaimo. Those are places where people want to play. Not too many people want to play in Mill Bay, to be honest, right? Like, when people want to go down to the South and play, they're thinking about the Victoria teams like the Cougars. So it's gonna be really difficult to predict what's gonna happen the next couple of years. And it's, obviously we heard some stuff about the BCHL, the merger that we commented on before. I'm going to be interested to see if, with this merger, if there's going to be funding from the BCHL teams to the VI teams.
Well, you got to think about it, man. There's BCHL teams that can't even afford to stay in the BC. Like, we talked about Merit.
Yeah.
They already can't. They're not making, I would say that the Merritt Centennials are the equivalent to teams like Lake Couch and Kraken, Port Alberni Bombers, Cary Park Islanders. Not a lot of people want to play for them. It's in the middle of nowhere, and they're not bringing in a lot of fans. Like, I think we're going to see the same thing as you just mentioned, as teams going downhill. And if teams can fund, sure, there's rich BCHL teams and rich BCHL owners and rich VI owners as well, because I know somebody that owns the Trail Smoke Eaters just bought one of the VI teams. I don't remember the exact team, but there's going to be some ownership changes and a lot of things are going to change, man. And I can't comment too much on it because we don't know enough to do so yet, but it's all speculation on our end so far. So we got to sit back and kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting ride with these NHL playoffs and the news that's going to be coming out about VI. So thank you, everyone, for tuning into episode 13. Noel, was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, man. I just wanted to say, if you guys have made it this far, thank you again. I also, huge snaps to Keezer for kind of taking on the responsibility of last episode. It's going to be tough for me to kind of be up and down the island for interviews now and then, but we're hoping to find out a way to get some sponsorship money to get this Riverside running so we can film from abroad. And so once again, thanks for staying tuned. If you don't hear as much from me as maybe you'd like to, trust me, I wish I was there kind of chipping away at it with Keezer, but you guys owe him a big round of snaps for keeping this shit going while I'm gone at work. So all I gotta say for episode 13, thank you for sticking along, and PP3 out.